daughter might only.
Hello.
I wrote all the seafood down on the board for you.
Yeah, all right.
I need to start taking the class over again.
Are you still having trouble getting through that class in the time you got?
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the hardest things I ever did in my life.
To try to teach.
Speaking Hebrew orientation there. Yeah, something like that.
Well, I add an hour or two at the end of every semester is what I've had to do.
And in chapel classes or
something? I streamline the class a little bit, too.
Mm-hmm.
Bless your hearts, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
Is this your final semester?
Yeah. Well, just about in the home stretch.
In your patience, you possess your soul.
Mm-hmm. Amen. He that endures to the end shall be saved. Well, first off, let's finish up these exercises in lesson 49. We were going to do A and the reading. So A was a matter of converting active to passive. It placed, you have a hit feel, and he's going to use that in here too, huh?
No, I just don't want to leave it in there. Don't get the
key in there. But we're going to convert the active to the passive, and then you're taking a hit feel and converting it hofal, and then translate the. Converted form. Question? Yeah, John skipped out there. Wait, you want to start? Okay. Number one.
Who fear Hakali, may all Amit Beyam.
Okay, good. Yeah, it would be Husar, though. Husar. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's...
My yoga
Yeah, it's hay with shurek and samek pathak resh. And I think that's just a... Yeah, hollow verb. The hollow ones, just the hollow part drops out. So it's like... it's like hakim down there. So husar... Hey, Shurek, Samak, Pathak, Resh. And then the rest is fine. Husar Hakali, Me'al, Hamiz Beak. So how would that be translated then as it's passive? Singular. The vessel was removed or was taken from off the altar, from upon the altar. Okay? Yeah, the vessel, the Kali is that kind of, it's a singular noun. There's a class of them, Pari, Kali, and so forth that had this hierarchical ending. But the vessel was removed from upon the altar. Okay, good. Now, number five, Eric, you want to try? Yes, that was to turn aside. Remove, I can't remember what else it is. Right. Yeah. Right. And the remove is probably because of the hofal, hifil hofal type of thing. To cause to be turned, turned or something, that'd be removed. Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. Okay. I don't know where I found that. Maybe it was it ever listed as a hifil or as a... Maybe the hifil form was listed someplace. Maybe why you didn't.
I mean, I can get it turned
aside. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I suspect it's probably listed in the vocabulary as a hifil someplace so that you didn't. Oh, hey, seer. Yeah, there it is. It's on page 233. To remove, take away, turn aside, and so forth from sar. So you probably looked up sar. Yeah. Page 233 in the vocab list, about middle way down. Okay, number five, Eric. You can read it through the first way first and then read it converted if you want, whatever's comfortable for you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Hutsu'u harisha'im hutsa. Okay. Hutsa. Mm-hmm. And how would you translate that? Yes, the evil ones were brought out to the outside. Okay, good. Yeah, it's from Yotze or, you know, Yatsa, to go out. And this is to, the Hifil would have been to cause to go out, and so the Hofal would be, they were caused to go out or were brought out. So the evil ones were brought outside.
Mm-hmm. Can I get
this down? Yeah, it's Hey, Shurek, Savi with Shua, Aleph, and Shurek. Savi's got Shua, Hutsu'u. Okay, and that's according to the pattern of the one Aleph there. And let's see, I guess they don't give a full paradigm for those. I don't know what you'd use an analogy to. Just kind of guessed. Yeah. Okay, the spelling should be, or read it again?
Well,
what do you need?
The second. The Hutsa.
Yeah. Hutsa'u. You want third?
The Hutsa.
Oh.
Is that?
Hutsa, that's
that
outside. No, that's just, it'd be just an adverb. Hutsa, to outside.
Because, yeah,
it's got that directional hay on the end, you know, to the outside. But so it's kind of like a prepositional idea in a way. Some would consider it maybe a prepositional idea, but it's certainly kind of a function. It functions as if there were a preposition in the front of the thing, but instead you got commas in the end.
I don't remember, but on the other one. Like earthward.
Mm-hmm.
Artsa.
Mm-hmm.
Would that take an S too, or does that directional K make it all like it's got a preposition at the end?
Yeah, and in fact, you wouldn't need an S on them because they're not really direct objects. They're just adverbial modifiers. So they're functioning adverbially. And so in other words, they're not receiving the action. The outside isn't receiving action here.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. So S would never be in the situation, but it could conceivably have been L, you know, toward the outside or something. I mean, that would be more appropriate to what's happening. Yes, Peter?
Okay, in these exercises, particularly number 5 and number 10,
mm-hmm.
you look at, like, if the hall and the three Aleph, you combine the elements?
Yes. Yeah, if it's both hollow and three Aleph, then you combine the two features. In other words, you look at the peculiarity for the three Aleph, and that's basically it gets that comets before the end.
Right.
And then your hollow one gets, so now you'd have, yeah, it gets the Shurek there, and then as far as the end is concerned, you probably just have to go with the comets there instead of the Pathak on those forms. Let's see, yeah, that's what happens. So you can see. They haven't even allow you to, I mean, leave some of this to your own discretion. If they were to try to put down every possible combination, this book would be so thick. It shows you how complicated these verbs can get. And it shows you why recognition is the thing that you're striving for rather than being able to produce all the forms and memorize every detail.
I did realize after
that, okay.
The other
Yeah, you can get that basic pattern from that. Right. Yeah. that's the thing you have to modify it with. Just in effect, you're having to combine the one yod with the three aleph. And if you see what happens in the chief paradigm there, then you can kind of make an inference as to what's going to happen in that particular form. Then even in the partial paradigms here, they didn't even give you the plural form, but you know,
yeah.
Remember that from way back. Right. Oh yeah. So yeah, a form that has a vocalic ending. Okay, I got you now. Yeah. And this is just going to be a different vocalic ending, but it'll be the same principle. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see the right, but when you have the shurik in the end with that plural ending, that's the vowel point on the aleph in effect. So the aleph doesn't need anything. Okay. Yeah, various devious means of trying to come up with it. Of course, there's always, well, you can't even hardly look this one up unless it happens to be that way in the unless the Bible happened to use this exact form, you wouldn't be able to even find it in the Englishman's.
My first impression was that I can't guess that.
Because
I remember I thought it was all down.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it was a guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you guessed right.
Then I just had to thought about it and
then
it's a logical process.
Yeah. And part of it, too, after a while, you start to get a feel for the sound of things, too. And that may help, too. I mean, it probably wouldn't give you the shurik there, but once you've got the shurik, you probably, you know, it sounds right to have the shwa there and then the ooh. So that may have been a help too. Okay, number 10 then, I guess you're up next, Doug. Okay. Okay, good. Wayuba el hahecha. Okay, and the spelling would be waw with pathak, yod with dagesh because of the pathak, because of the waw consecutive. Shurek, beth with comets, and aleph. Okay, so you just want the third person form for a hollow three aleph. And that'll give you. Oh, wait a minute here, let's see. I was just... Yes, the form they started off with was adjusted, probably, yeah, because that's what they usually use on those. Yes, and so this would be your imperfect form. Just an imperfect hollow, but it's got an aleph, so that's what gives you the comets. Mm-hmm. It's the comets on the base. Okay. And how would you translate? Did you translate that, Doug? Yes. And he was brought to the temple. He was brought to the temple. Okay. Real well. Any other questions on any of these? Then we'll move to the reading there in part E. And Peter, you can do verse 1 there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Samson went down to Timnath, and he saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines.
Good. Okay. Samson went down to Timnath, and he saw a woman in Timnath from the daughters, or of the daughters of the Philistines. Okay. Any questions there? Everybody follow that? A lot of proper names in there, but not much else.
The use of men.
Mm-hmm.
Normally what we see is construct.
Yeah, if you just wanted to say of. No, I don't think it's too great. Usually when it's one of a group, They all use men. Hebrew used men more often than not. One from a group. rather than using construct. Your construct seems to be more... You know, this is kind of like a partitive genitive in Greek. And it'd be interesting to see if that's consistent, but this, when you're dealing with a group, you know, one from the, this and one from that, it's men is almost always used. That's, I mean, that's a common mode. So that's the one you're familiar with. So that's not unusual at all. Okay. Verse 2 then, John.
Okay.
You missed out on the first one there, so again.
Vayomer, Isha, Raiti,
You've just been tricked by all the hiss clouds. We've been. It's just an active form, though, so imperfect, converted imperfect, if you'll. So he went up, he came up and told his father.
Oh, he told, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It uses the preposition lamed as an object, yeah. I think is what happens there.
And he told to his
father. Yeah, or father. Told to his father, you might say.
Mm-hmm. And to his mother, saying, I saw a woman in Timnatha. From the daughters of the Philistines, and now take her to me, take her for me for a wife.
Yes, yeah, take her for me for a wife, something like that. Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, that's simple. You know, you see someone he likes, go take her for him for a wife. No problem. Yes.
I didn't quite know how to put sign or omen in there.
Okay. Take her for me. Oh, no, that's just...
That's her.
That's her, take her. That's S with the pronoun suffix.
I said earlier, and I said now, and I think. Okay,
yeah, and I think they've got a long form here with the colon wow instead of just a colon. But that comment, hey, with my peak on the end, kind of tips you off a little bit.
It came clear to me when he just showed me the part of it.
Yeah, that would have been tricky otherwise. Yeah. It does look like a sign or...
That has something to do with Mary's
picture of her about, yeah.
Yeah. So, and now take her for me for a wife. Now, it may be...
I did this thing.
You did? Yeah. Yeah, the digation, the hay will be, but that could have still been her sign or something, you know, that's what he was thinking of. Yeah.
I wish I hadn't thought.
But it is tricky because it is, you're used to no kolom wow in there. And I'm not sure if whether it's because of the meter or something like that they stretch it out with that or not. Okay. Any other questions on number 2? I'll read it again. And he came up and told his father and his mother, or told to his father and his mother, and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath from the daughters of the Philistines. and now take her for me for a wife. Okay, verse 3, Tony, do you want to take a crack at that? It's a long one. Do you want to wait? And...
I'll read it.
Okay. Okay. Everybody come to his rescue then.
Wayomar lo aviu.
Aviu. No, just be Bivnoth.
Aheka. Aheka. Uvakol.
Uvakol. That was a little tricky. Uvakol. It's from Kol and it's Kamaskatuf, but it could be easily. That's one that you just kind of have to know because. It's a pretty common word, so uvakol. Yeshua's vocal because of the unchangeable long vowel in front of it. Uvakol imi, ami. Yesha.
I forgot which way the
yeah, that still happens to me. Yeah, Isha.
Isha, ki, ata, holek,
lakaha. Some of these words you can almost hurt yourself saying them. Be careful.
Isha.
Arelim. It's Sari there on the Resh. Arelim.
Uyomer. Shimshon.
El. Try translating it. This is kind of an interesting construction here because we've got a singular verb, Wayomer, and said to him, his father and his mother. And you might expect a plural verb form with his father and mother compound, but it's kind of like it's saying, and his father said to him and his mother. You know, kind of adding that on. So your verb still stays singular. Okay. Anybody want? You want to take a crack at it? Then you can avoid reading. Is that all right, Tony? Okay.
And his father and his mother said to him. There's very little here. Not in the daughters of your brethren. Or a woman in all my people that you are going to take a woman from the uncircumcised Philistines, but Samson said to his father, take her to me because she is pleasing in my eyes.
Okay.
Very hard phrase to interpret.
Yeah, that, it is kind of awkward because of the word order, and it's kind of cumbersome. You might translate it something like this. Is there not among the daughters of your brothers and among all my people a woman that you are going to take a woman from the uncircumcised Philistines?
I just took the woman and made it the subject. Is there not a woman?
Yeah, you could do that. Is there not a woman among the daughters? Yeah, that'd be fine. You change the word order back around. It's a little simpler in English that way. Is there not a woman? Yeah, I know. Yeah. Is there not a woman among the daughters of your brothers and among all my people that you are going to take a woman from the uncircumcised Philistines? It's a pretty laborious phrase, sentence. Is there not among the daughters... or is there not a woman among the daughters of your brothers and among all my people that you are going to take a woman from the uncircumcised Philistine? Okay. And you got that ha-ein there. That hey might have tripped you up too, but it is a question. It's an interrogative. Because of the aleph, it gets a full pasuk.
I took the opening phrase of avi, and mother and father.
Mm-hmm.
I took the and, like a conjunction, so they both said it.
Yes.
Know it was easier,
yeah, it's that's all right. And his father and his mother said to him, that's what I did too. I just wrote it down that way. The only problem you could ever run into technically would be the fact that the verb form was singular. And so, in effect, what it's saying is that, and his father said to him, and his mother, parentheses, said to him.
That's the
same
thing kind of in
Greek
too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of the same as your parents, they think
of getting after it. Yeah. Right. Right. It's his parents, you know, but actually, you would probably, if it were just worded a little bit differently, they could have easily used a plural verb form there and had a compound subject. But instead, it probably sounds like his father did the talking and his mother was with him, you know, behind him in her heart, you know.
I was thinking from the context that. And his mother
seemed
to be more wiser than his father.
Okay, well, maybe. I don't know. okay. The last part of it, we didn't translate that, did we? The last phrase?
Because she's breathing
in
my
eyes. Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. I'm sorry. Yeah, and Samson said to his father, get her for me or take her for me, for she is pleasing in my eyes.
Yes,
Asherah.
Pleasing?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Yashar. Yeah, Yashar is beautiful, or something like that. What was it? I can't remember what was pleasing. This is a feminine form. Okay, Yashar, the Yashar is probably the one that means upright. What was the other one? What's the different vowel point?
Yeah. I don't know what it's
on the sheen.
Okay.
Before.
Boy, that's a close. Yeah. So,
the thing is that if it were the gest of the upright, I suppose the pasuk would have shortened to a shawah.
Yeah, the first, right, that pasuk wouldn't have shortened, and probably the first, if there was a comma from the first, it would have been yeshara. In other words, the first syllable would shorten down.
They both have commas in the first.
Oh, they do?
Mm-hmm.
Even in the feminine form?
They don't.
Yeah, see, the feminine form, when you put the comma say on the end, that usually shortens the first syllable normally. So, double check that. So, this one is the word for pleasing. She's pleasing in my eyes. Okay, verse 4 then. Go ahead. Okay.
I'm not even sure what that was.
Okay, that you are going, you know, that you should go, or that you are going to take. The idea is going to take. See, to take is from lakak, to take, and this is an infinitive construct. And you've got holek is just a okay. This is from halak. Okay, this is verbal hendiadys then, probably. This is an infinitive absolute in with holek, and then your well, either that or just a participle. It looks like a. Let's see. Let's just double check here with our hendiadys. There was this holek was used oftentimes in this sense, and I think this is probably just a participle with the longer. Oh, wow, again. Let me see if that was used quite that way. But yeah, it's got to be a participle. You are going, and it's just that normally you just have a colon there. Here you got a colon, wow, just a longer form. That's why it was dripping up. And so this would be verbal hendiadys, or either that or just one of, you know, the idiomatic uses of halak. Section 170 does that. You've got whole lake there. Except the spelling is a little different here as well. It's just got the whole and wow in there instead of the whole.
That yashra, that's a participle.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that would make some
the
sense.
The verb is yashra with a papa.
Oh, okay.
It should be pleasant or to be agreeable.
Okay. That's what it is then. Yeah, and I was wondering about that metheg on the first syllable. The pattern is a different reduction pattern than either an adjective or a yeah, that would make sense. So it's a participle form with feminine form of the participle.
So she's
right. Notice too that it says ki he. You've got the pronoun form there, and it's quite emphatic. For she is pleasing my eyes. You know. Sounds like he was really. I don't want any of these other women. She is pleasing my eyes. I put an underline under, or take her for me. Excuse me. Take her for me, for she is pleasing. Yeah, right. For she is pleasing, and take her also. Yes, you've got that otha again. Well, that's not quite as emphatic.
Although it is in the first position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that maybe that's it. Okay. Yeah, her take for me. That's the reason why I had that. Yeah. Her take for me. So that would make it emphatic. So that one's emphatic, and then for she is pleasing.
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah, it sure looks like it. That's what he ended up being too.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions on that? Observations?
Yeah, I'm going back to our other verbs here.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, what's happening is you can call it verbal hendiadys because you got two verbs, you know, put together to get one meaning, go to take. But this one probably is more, you know, halak is used very, very frequently in that kind of sense. So section 170 says idiomatic use of halak, and that was kind of introducing us to the concept of verbal hendiadys. Verbal hendiadys is a more generalized application of this with other verbs besides halak. But to halak is to go and do something, you know, and or to increase in doing something, so forth. So that's what that construction is. You've got halak with another verb here. Or you could just even not even worry about that and just translate it literally. You'll come out fine.
The idea.
Yes, that's the kind of the problem because of that hey, and then the fact that they've got a longer form here with a colon wow. The tsere at the end should probably tip you off though eventually.
That's what I'm sure about. Because
yeah. Yeah, halak does act funny, and that may be part of why this holon comes in here in the longer forms. But it's most often used in the participle, just holek with a colon there, not a holon wow. That's the way, if you look at the examples in section 170, it's all spelled in the short form there. So I think that's the tricky thing, is the fact that we've got this longer form here. Yeah, participle of phole plus infinitive form there for the going to take. You are going to take. Okay, verse 4, and who's up next? Eric Kim. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. And his father and his mother, they do not know that it was from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He was seeking an opportunity from the citizen. And in that time, the citizen was ruled, the citizen was ruling the nation.
Okay, yeah, ruling in Israel or ruling over Israel, kind of idiomatic, but it's got the base there, isn't it? So ruling in Israel or ruling over Israel. Yes, okay. And his father and his mother did not know that it was from Yahweh. And because he was seeking an opportunity from the Philistines. And at that time, or for at that time, the Philistines were ruling over Israel. So, and his father is one question?
No, John, I like that the he was family. When I was taking this before. And somehow I didn't hear it, I guess because the island is not really.
Oh, yes. Well, I think the he is referring to the situation. From Yahweh was this, from was she? It's actually a feminine form. No, he rather than who. And so, literally, because from Yahweh it is, or you know, is this thing? Is she? You know, this whole being. You have to take the. You can't really translate it as she, but you look at the whole.
Because it involves the woman, perhaps.
Maybe.
Does this matter that involves things?
Yeah, that's possible. That's possible. And I'm not so. I don't think it's really referring to that woman, you know, her per se, that she was Yahweh's doing, but the whole situation involving her, you know, this whole development, and what's up with the of Yahweh.
I think
we're
talking about
the next one.
Yeah, I was talking about who.
Oh, you're talking about the next one down. Okay. Yeah, that's the trouble. Who is he and he is she? And Okay. You're further down. Yes, for he. Right. That's referring to Yahweh. Yeah. Because he was seeking an opportunity. Exactly. Well, yes. Yeah, it's about proximity and... I think it's proximity more than anything else. And just kind of the logical sequence. You know, for the thing was from Yahweh. And then you have a parenthesis there. His father and his mother did not know that it was Yahweh's doing, and that he, not his father and his mother, or his father even, but that Yahweh was seeking an opportunity from the Philistines. You have to kind of glean that somewhat from syntax, from the whole meaning, semantics, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm alive. Some days when I thought I was talking about Samson, getting some
preview. Oh, okay. No, I don't think so. I think the whole insight is that God was trying to get an occasion. Against the Philistines. And in other words, God was looking for an opportunity to get Israel under the rule, out from under the dominion of the Philistines. And see, that's kind of the story of the judges, when God's people cried out and God found a way to, and that's beginning to happen here, so God's working a certain circumstance to accomplish his purpose. Okay. Verse 5, then, I guess we're up next. Doug?
Yered.
What's he? Yeah, why Yered?
Abiu. Construct and plural. What's that? Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
you translated the Carme of Timnath or something? Yeah, the vineyards of Timnath.
And behold, a young lion.
Okay. Good. Yeah, roaring at meeting him, or roaring. Yeah, I suppose you could say against him. Roaring at meeting him is kind of just roaring at him face to face approach there. Okay, good. And Samson went down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and they came as far as the vineyards of Timnath, until the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion of lions was roaring to meet him. Okay. Infinitive construct here with a suffix and the preposition lamed, roared to meet him, I suppose. And what do you have, roared at meeting him?
Before he met him.
Okay. It's not too bad, except it's not real literal, because you made a finite verb out of it rather than an infinitive construct. So you have "for he met him," you know. And actually, if you had that, you would have what we're going to get into in chapter 52 or so, where you have object suffixes. He met him. You'd have a masculine plural, a masculine singular form for the verb, and then you'd have an object suffix on it. It can be done, but it'd look a little bit different than this.
Oh, that's not the right suffix.
Yeah, it's the right suffix, but it's the wrong form of the verb. The verb form here is the infinitive construct with a suffix, and what you would need is a finite form of the verb with an object suffix on top of that, which we haven't really got to yet. To meet him, probably. To meet him. Or at meeting him. Yes, I think so. Something like the kara, to approach, or to meet, or... Oh, we had that, yeah. Okay. That might have been given separately. It seems like there was in the vocabulary a note about that after. And what did you translate it, Doug? You had something like it. Okay. Yeah. And that makes sense, because the idea is coming face to face, and if there's a hostility implied, then that would fit.
What? The Quran would look.
Yeah, lacrosse. Did you?
And also,
Okay. It's really derived from the same idea, so. Yeah, likras, toward, against, to meet. Yeah, so it'd just be against him or to meet him. Yeah, I'll put that down too as another option. Okay. Yeah, that's kind of the idea. He's roaring. He's not just sitting there roaring for no purpose. I mean, there's direct. It's on T, you know. It's face to face. Okay. Yeah. What was your last statement there, Doug? Okay. Okay, that's the way they're doing it, just taking the suffix on, to meet him, to meet her, to meet me, and so forth. Okay, good. Or against, toward. Fine. Mm-hmm. And literally it's from to meet, because it's from kara, to approach, infinitive construct, with a suffix. You know, you could analyze it both ways. And that's, you know, apparently they just used that, began to use that expression to give the idea of against. Okay, number six then, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the spirit of Yahweh rushed upon him, and he tore it apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of got hung up here. He tore it apart. As he tore the kid, nothing was in his hand.
Okay, yeah, he tore it apart as, it's actually an infinitive here, so as the tearing apart of a kid or something like that. As the tearing apart of it, it's an infinitive construct in construct with Hagidhi. So the tearing, as the tearing apart of the kid, and there was not anything in his hand. In other words, the point is he didn't use a tool or an implement, did it barehanded. So he tore him apart as the tearing apart of a kid, and there was nothing in his hand.
Isn't it nothing? There was nothing in his hand.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, see, and there was.
Naruma, he had nothing, anything.
Yeah, there was not nothing in his hand. It's kind of a double negative almost. Was it just anything? Yeah, check Ma'uma. It might have been just something, and then this is the negative. We'll double check it here. Make sure we get it right. Anything with negative nothing. Okay, so it means anything as it is, and then the ain makes it negative. So there was nothing. Mm-hmm. It's good Hebrew, though, yeah. Okay. There was not anything. Mm-hmm. That's not too bad, I guess. I suppose we always prefer to say nothing, I suppose.
Yeah, nothing's not correct. Have nothing.
Oh, you are? Okay. So there was not anything would be okay, then. And there was not anything in his hand.
I think I got more in his hand, and
okay.
He did not tell to his father and to his mother that which he did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So, and the spirit of Yahweh rushed upon him, and he tore it apart as the tearing apart of the kid, and there was not anything in his hand, and he did not tell his father and his mother what he had done or what he did. Okay.
I think that tearing has intended, so I said, like to tear the kid.
Yeah, it's the English might be a little awkward, though. You know, like to interrogate. That's all right. It is an infinitive. And these infinitive constructs will often get translated by gerunds or what you would call, you know, almost a participle in English. Tearing, as the tearing apart of a kid. It's just that in English we're a little sloppy the way, I mean, I don't know if we're sloppy, but it was just different. It's different. We can conceptualize a thing and make it a tearing, you know, or to tear, are both nouns, but they're kind of used differently. So you don't have to really be stuck with an infinitive translation of an infinitive in Hebrew. It is an infinitive in Hebrew, but in English you may have to put it in an ing form to make it fit. Okay, verse 7. Back to John. Is that right? Okay.
Why Yiret? Why Daber? Why Isha? Why Tishar? Ba'ene? Shimshon?
Okay.
And he went down and he spoke to the woman. And she was pleasing in the eyes of Samson?
Yes, right. And he went down and spoke to the woman, and she was pleasing in the eyes of Samson. Okay. And there you have the actual verb form there. For pleasing. Okay, any questions, anybody, on that? All right, verse 8. Want to try that, Tony? It's a little shorter than the last one you had.
When you shop,
yes, Miami.
Lekasta Usta. What's the R?
Lero.
F. Makele. Ha-ere. Ha-ere.
Are-ye? Yeah, this is tricky. Ha-are-ye. It's a line again.
Wahene. Eda. Devorim. Big
Re. It's a little tricky. It's a big Wa'at. Big Wa'at. That, yeah, that wow is consonantal. Yeah, when you get the dagation, the yod, the first one's the hirik yod, finishing in hirik yod, and the second one is the, so it's big wiyot.
And then
ha'ereh. Big wiyot, it can be. Yeah, Udevosh, or Udevash, Udevash. Okay. All right. Okay, this is to return, though. Yeshav is to return. Yeah, that'll help. Yeah, he returned. Okay, now we'll stop you there again. This is a common confusion. This is days rather than seasons. Yamim is a plural for days. Yami, Yamim. Yeah, but they're spelled a little different. One's got the for the sea, I think it's got the dagation, the main, double. Yeah, those monosyllabic plural nouns do that. So this is actually from the days. Or he returned. From the days is literally it, but it's kind of the idea some days later. In other words, he returned at a point that was from the days from the other point, you know. So he returned some days later. I think that's maybe what they, somewhere along the line they gave that to us, I think. Yeah, again, that timeline concept is what you're seeing. Yeah. It's very similar to the idea of comparison. Okay. To take her. Yeah. Well, he returned some days later. That's just a kind of a, he returned from the days to take her. He returned some days later to take her. In other words, it's kind of a complementary infinitive to the verbal idea, returned. He returned to take.
Okay.
And to take her. You got the object suffix there. So he returned some days later to take her.
Turned aside
mm-hmm.
to see
good.
The lion's carcass.
Right.
And
Inay, just behold. Behold.
Oh, that's
mm-hmm.
And behold, I have an assembly of
yeah, you're right. An assembly of bees. Yeah, or a congregation of bees. Or a swarm of bees, you could say, for bees. For, yeah, behold, a swarm of bees, or a congregation of bees. An assembly of bees.
From the body.